We sinners do beseech thee to hear us, O Lord God. By thine agony and bloody sweat. Welcome to the first Sunday of Lent, y'all. This season of Lent, traditionally in the church, a time of preparation and self-denial as we come to the Easter season, begins with this passage from the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus is full of the Spirit from his baptism, is led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Pastor Nadia Boltz-Weber says that in the ancient Greek, the root of the word demon was to throw apart. And so she defines demonic as that which causes us to fracture. And so what we see in the wilderness then is a test between that which causes us to fracture, the demonic, and that which calls us to be whole, salvation, the divine. And so what were the temptations of Jesus then? There were three. And the first one was a very physical one. Jesus had been in the wilderness for 40 days and hadn't eaten. He was hungry, starving even. And so the devil said, "Turn this stone into a loaf of bread." But Jesus said no. The second seems to have been targeting Jesus' sense of power, perhaps his ego, his desire to rule. But again, Jesus said no. As I was reading the gospel, preparing for this sermon, the third temptation struck me anew this time. It's an interesting one that after these first two, which makes sense to me, I get those, we get to this third one where the devil says, throw yourself from the pinnacle of the temple. Throw yourself down and God will save you. God will pick you up. You will not dash your foot across a stone. And I wondered, what was the temptation here? A temptation to be saved? What does that mean? And it reminded me of times in my life, of a time in particular when I was deep in the throes of difficulty. I've spoken before in sermons how I've struggled with disordered eating, with starving myself. And in one of those particularly low times, I can remember that underneath the pretense of telling everyone that I was fine, thank you very much, there was nothing to see here, nothing to pay attention to, even behind my aggressive defensiveness at times, deep, deep down, I was ashamed to admit that I was absolutely dying to be saved, to be sick enough to be noticed, to be saved from falling, but not really saved. To test those around me, to test their love, to test their attentiveness to me, but not really to be saved. Because I wasn't looking to change myself, but rather to bring them, to drag them into my own pain. To have them sit with me, to see the depth of my struggle, to even in that moment to applaud it, to say, we see how much you struggle. Maybe you've felt something similar at a point in your life. But Jesus reminds us in our gospel today that love does not test or manipulate for attention. And yes, salvation is always at offer, but that the way to be made whole is not by staying broken myself and drawing others into that space with me to try to make a home there. That if we take seriously salvation, salve, healing, wholeness, we must also take seriously the struggle, the possibility of wholeness, which requires us to change and to, with God's help, be saved. In your Lenten booklets, you'll find a quote from Christian Wiman on this Sunday, the first Sunday in Lent, and I felt that it spoke particularly to me in that moment in my life and to this gospel as we hear it today. Wiman writes, "There's nothing more difficult to outgrow than anxieties that have become useful to us, whether as explanations for a life that never quite finds its true force or direction, or as fuel for ambition, or as a kind of reflexive secular religion that, paradoxically, unites us with others in a shared sense of complete isolation. You feel at home in the world only by never feeling at home in the world." Now, this is not to say that anxieties are bad. Anxieties are normal. They're a normal part of what it is to be human. But as Wiman says, it is when those anxieties, those struggles, become so integral to our identity that we cannot lose them, even for the sake of salvation. And so I wonder if there's a reason why this was the third temptation of Christ, why this was the third and final test. Did Jesus find deep within himself, beyond the physical hunger, beyond even his own ego and desire for power and prestige, a deeper and even more shameful hunger? A hunger to bring God down into the brokenness and to keep us both there. Healing, salvation invites us out of ourselves in ways that can feel frightening and vulnerable. It's often easier to remain hungry than it is to be fed. And so then we could say that the temptations of Jesus that we find in our gospel today are overall about confusing the fragmented hungers of our deep pains with the deep, saving needs of our whole being, to confuse the present pain with our identity which is always beloved of God. As Debbie Thomas writes in her essay this week for Journey with Jesus, hunger in and of itself is not a virtue, it's a classroom. By paying attention to our hungers this Lent, by seeing temptation not as something to be avoided per se, but as a classroom, what might we learn? And so, how do we do this? How do we treat our temptations, our hungers, as a classroom? Earlier this week, a parishioner emailed us to ask about fasting, to ask what we in the Episcopal Church, what we at St. Mark's mean when we say that Lent is a season of fasting. And I thought it was a great question because I would say overall, the Church Universal, broadly speaking, has not always done a great job of talking about what it means to fast, what it means to give something up or live into this penitential season. On the more conservative side of our church, we've erred more towards total denial. For example, sex, don't even think about it. No, literally, like, don't even think about it. Alcohol, no way. But then on the liberal side, we as a church have often said, yes, you can have those things. You can have alcohol, you can have sex. But we've provided no guidance or healthy ways in which to do those things. And I would argue that not talking about something is much the same abyss as forbidding it entirely. And we know from our own experiences, I think, that denying hungers entirely rarely leads to much good. Instead, denying our hungers entirely causes them to twist into something different entirely. To hearken back to Nadia Boltz-Weber's definition of demonic as that which fractures us, hunger completely denied becomes something in our lives that fractures us, that tears us apart. And so then within this context, what is fasting? What does it mean? I would say that fasting is first and foremost about noticing. When you feel the hunger, the desire to do something, whether it be food, sex, alcohol, shopping, etc., etc., why? Stop for a moment and ask yourself, what is this hunger that I'm feeling? And there's no need to do this with sense of shame and regret at the fact that you're feeling hungry about that thing, and perhaps if the devil had a modern name, it would be shame, in fact, that tries to distract us, to get us off course from really listening to what it is that we are telling ourselves. And so be curious. Be gentle. Listen to what your hungers are trying to tell you. And depending on your answer to those, the question then becomes, will this thing, X, lead me to salvation? And I know that that sounds like a really intense question to ask yourself. But remember, this idea of salvation, salve, wholeness, healing. Will this action, will this activity lead myself and others towards a place of wholeness and healing? Because sometimes sex, food, alcohol, shopping, perhaps they can lead us to wholeness. Good food nourishes our bodies. It helps us to literally stay alive. Sex can be a sacramental and powerful act, an outward and visible sign of an inward and invisible grace. In my experience, I found that a good Napa cab shared with friends does indeed have a tinge of holiness to it. I'm not totally convinced on shopping, but, I mean, we do need clothes, so I'm sure there's some way to find the edifying in it. But the point is, none of these things are bad in and of themselves. And we fool ourselves if we believe that merely by denying the hunger or by denying the act, we will cure the hunger itself. The point is not to bring God down into our brokenness to stay, but rather the invitation is transformation. The invitation is salvation. In our reading from the prophet Isaiah on Ash Wednesday, we heard these words, "Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is this not the fast I choose? To bring salvation, healing into the world this day for myself and for others. And so this holy season of Lent, what will you notice? How will your fast, your practice, help you better understand your own hungers and needs? How will they become your classroom? And no matter what you find, remember, as it says in the opening collect for Ash Wednesday, Almighty God, you hate nothing you have made. May God be with us this holy season. Amen.